Bob and Pam, fostering innovation and entrepreneurship leads to stronger economics and communities. And business incubators are not a new idea. But what if you wanted to produce food as your business or add value to your CSA? Where do you go to have your questions answered? And how would you be able to afford all those expensive startup costs for a facility? Your answer is here. Madison's East Side is home to The Feed Kitchen, a five-kitchen complex that does just that. Give you, the entrepreneur, the opportunity to produce products in a state-of-the-art, state-inspected kitchen with a full-time staff that's available to help you with marketing, business plans, and licensing. Adam Hain, the general manager of Madison's Feed Kitchen, joins us to tell us more.
We spent $1.5 million on this place, and we have all the different equipment, and we have a lot of the risk involved then, but they can just come in, we'll teach them how to use the facility, they make all their products, clean up, leave, and then somebody else comes in and works right behind them.
Why was a building like this and this whole concept developed?
About 12 years ago, the north side of Madison got declared a food desert. We had lost the grocery store that was here, and all of a sudden there's no place on the north side for groceries, for fresh fruit and veggies, any of that kind of stuff. So the Northside Planning Council, who owns Feed, works with neighborhood centers, does community development on this side of town, said, okay, we need to fix this. So they started the Northside Farmers Market. They started Troy Gardens, Community Gardens. And so they said, how do we make it so that something like this doesn't happen again? You know, we could still have a grocery store leave, but we want to get more food business and we want more food availability on the north side and in Madison in general. So people have been hemming and hawing for 20-some years about shared kitchens. Oh, man, we need a shared kitchen space. And I've talked to different groups that are like, oh, yeah, man, in 96 we started working on this. And then we found out the cost, and so we stopped. So they said, well, is this something that's really needed? So they worked with the university. They did a feasibility study, and it came back with a resounding yes. There were tons of small businesses, food carts, whatnot, community groups that would love a kitchen like this. Then they said, well, what's it going to cost? They said, it's going to be $1 to $2 million. Fine. So started fundraising. We got talking to somebody at the city, and they said, well, you know, there's these grants out there. They're federal grants that the city administers, and they're for working with diverse populations. Would you guys be willing to do that? Like, yeah, well, so you're going to have women entrepreneurs? Yes. Minority? Yep. Veteran? Yep. Low income households? Yeah, we want to work with everybody. Great. Well, there's grants for all of that. So we did a bunch of grants and ended up with about $500,000 in grants for that. This was a huge community effort, but it took about 5 years from the time they started working on it to the time we actually opened the doors, and ended up costing, like I said, about $1.5 million. From that, we opened November 1st of 2013. We had 3 users in the kitchen that first couple weeks. At the end of the first year, we had, I think, 15 or 16 businesses. We've got 90 businesses working out of here now, and another 20 or 30 community groups that will come in once or twice a year. Everything from Goodman Center coming in and making 3,000 pies over the weekend for the Thanksgiving boxes, to farmers that are coming in and testing out recipes because they want to make applesauce with their extra produce, or they want to make pickles, that kind of thing.
So the users are pretty diverse as far as farmers all the way to entrepreneurs wanting to start a restaurant, if you would.
Yeah, we have, it's funny, the different stages that you have people in. We have people who are catering because they want to start a food cart. We have food carts that are starting a food cart because they want to do a restaurant. We have restaurateurs that are doing food carts, they got tired of being in the restaurant. We've got a lady who's going to be moving out of here shortly because she was doing small chocolates out of another place, and then she has quadrupled what she was doing since then. She does a chocolate CSA, basically. We have bakery training programs working with long-term unemployed and underemployed. Like I said, we've got farmers who use us to make value-added products. We have some that just use us as cross-docking because we've got a guy up in Door County that comes down, drops off stuff here on the weekend, and then during the week, it gets delivered for him to different restaurants and stores and whatnot. So we've got, yeah, a huge variety. We've got everything from the Italian women's group that comes in here, and they bake desserts to go to the Festa Italia or to go to International Fest. Girl Scout troops that come in and do their badge work. And then the commercial entities that are here 6-7 days a week, and that's their main income.
Is this idea unique?
Well, business incubators have been around for a long time. The shared food incubators are fairly new. There's some really big ones on both coasts, and they're starting to pop up more and more. I actually have been, over the past couple of years, consulting with like 6 different small ones where they're just going to do maybe one kitchen in a smaller community because they have an old grocery store that they shut down, so they're going to turn part of it into community space and then part of it into a shared kitchen. Or they have a restaurant that they aren't using except for 4 days a week, so the other days are using for other stuff. So the concept is starting to grow, but it is still, it's probably less than a decade old, really.
You provide training for individuals that maybe think they want to sell pies for a part-time job or a full-time job, and they don't really know much about business or even how to get started besides they make really good pies. You help them along the way, don't you?
Yeah. So Mandy Shipler came to us actually in June of 2013. Somebody had read a newspaper article and said, Mandy, you have to go over and talk to these guys. Because Mandy, she loves hot sauce. And everywhere she goes, she takes her homemade hot sauces with. Everybody always says, why aren't you selling this? So she heard about us starting up and she said, I have no idea how to start a business. I don't know what to do, but that's what these guys are going to do. So she came to us, and we started working with her, helping her get her business plan written, helping get everything set up, what her bottles are going to be, get her label made, all of that. Sent her to the right people in the community to get her set so that when we opened our doors, she came in that first week, and she had product on store shelves in the first month we were open because we helped her walk through all of it, where if this facility wasn't here, she never would have done it because she didn't have that support structure. We have folders for every, pretty much all the businesses that people would do out of here. And those folders have who to talk to at the city or state, license contacts. If they need help getting insurance, we work with different insurance agents around the area. We have who to talk to get funding, to get classes, all of that stuff. And when opportunities come up, whether it's a funding opportunity, a vending opportunity, whatnot, we send out to all those groups. But yeah, the biggest part of what we are is that food to business incubator. It's making sure that they start out right, because if they work out of here, in a way, they represent us. So if they do something wrong, we're doing something wrong. We want them to succeed, so we make sure all the T's are crossed, all the I's are dotted. We work with them to make sure their label has everything that it needs on it, all of the different ingredients, all the warnings, everything like that. And we want them to feel secure and sure in what they're doing.
What do I pay to come in here and, you know, use your kitchen to get things ready?
Well, we have two different types of members. So we have commercial and casual. Commercial is anybody who has to be licensed by the city, state, or federal government to sell something. Casual is pretty much everybody else. So we'll do casual first because it's really easy. Let's say you are a church group that wants to do a bake sale. You need to work out of a commercial kitchen. You're going to pay a $50 one-time application and membership fee. And what I suggest with groups like that is that they put it under that group name so that anybody in the group can use it. And then you just pay by the hour. If you're a nonprofit, so again, like a church group or something like that, it's $20 an hour. If it's a regular community member or a business, it's $30 an hour. So if you're a commercial member, there's a little bit more involved. There's a $100 application and membership fee, and then a $100 orientation fee. And that gets them, I take about 2 hours to go through, walk through all the equipment with them, how to use the stuff, again, how to get inspected by the state, and then we do continual education with them all along. And then after that, they can either pay the $30 an hour rate just for using the kitchen. They can pay $35 per storage shelf in our cooler, freezer, or dry storage area per month. We do blocks of, they can buy 6 hours of time for $100 for product development because they can't sell it, they can't do a lot with it. We don't want them just to waste time and money, so it makes it look better for them. The other thing they can do, and what a lot of the members here do, is they can do monthly rent. Let's use food carts, for example. The average food cart uses 10 to 30 hours a month in the kitchen, just coming in, heating stuff up, getting things ready, going out on their cart. So if they're using that 10 to 30 hours a month, we have a set rate for them that's $700 a month. And the way we kind of work it, because we know for especially food carts and farms too, their seasons wane and wax. And then we work with them to kind of understand what they're going to be using. We kind of adjust it the first couple of months depending on what their usage is. So everybody works really well together because they just have to. It's like a big family. Once in a while you squabble, but in the end, everybody wants everybody else to succeed.
So let's talk expansion. Where is this place going? If you're looking around, you look pretty busy.
We're planning right now, and it's of adding about 4,000 square feet on. The soonest we'd be able to do anything would be next spring, and probably it'll be closer to next fall. But we're going to be doubling our storage altogether, the cooler, freezer, and dry storage, adding on a bigger conference room so we can do more community stuff, then putting on just a small like lunch counter as part of our culinary training.
Now, how do we find out more information about the Feed Kitchen and the programs that you provide?
If you go to feedkitchens.org, we've got a lot of information on there. Facebook is actually probably the best bet because that gets updated a lot more often.
That was Adam Hain, the general manager of Madison's Eastside Feed Kitchen. Make sure you visit feedkitchens.org for all kinds of different information about all the services that the shared kitchen space offers to you if you're an entrepreneur or maybe just looking to add value to some of the products you produce on your farm. From the southern end of the world's longest barn here in Madison, I'm Bryant Gill.